Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, July 17th. We are in the middle of what they like to call a heat advisory, which means that we're triple digits. Probably 101, 102 when it's all said and done. So we're going to be pretty hot here for a few days, and that's just the way it is in the middle of July in Texas. Today we're going to talk about President Trump's press conference yesterday with President Putin. We're going to talk about what the president said, the correction that he made today, which I'm glad he did. But we're also going to talk about his critics, who I think that, frankly, they always bail out President Trump because they overreact in such a way that they end up saving President Trump whenever he says something that he shouldn't, and clearly that was the case this time. But you know, this young woman who was recently elected, I have a post over at Babalu about her candidate, or her situation. This is the young woman who defeated the long-term congressman in the Bronx, and she's obviously become the darling of the media because not only is she a young socialist, but she's also a big resistance anti-Trump young woman, so that makes her, you know, material for many of the networks. But this young woman is really making a fool out of herself whenever she talks. And perhaps the most interesting case has to be what she said about Israel being an occupier country. They tried to get her to explain that, and she couldn't. I mean, it's really a silly video clip if you have the chance to watch it. I mean, basically, she couldn't explain what she said, so then she went back to the excuse, well, you know, I'm not an expert on this, and I'm learning about these things. Well, if you're not an expert on something, why are you giving opinions as outrageous as the one that she gave? I mean, my goodness, how do you say that Israel is an occupier country? Is she ought to talk to Senator Schumer. I bet Senator Schumer of New York has a few ideas about that. But let's talk about President Trump. He was having a great trip in Europe, a very successful trip. And then he had the press conference with President Putin of Russia. And during that press conference, he made a statement that became very controversial because it sounded like he was saying that he believed Putin more than our own intelligence agencies. That's kind of what it sounded like. I went back and I watched it a couple of times, and yeah, there's no question that that's what it sounded like. And I think it was a mistake, a complete mistake, for the president to say something like that. And I'm glad that today he corrected himself and he said, look, I misspoke. This is what I meant. Basically, he said he supported the findings of the intelligence agencies, obviously endorsed the intelligence agencies, and made what I thought were the appropriate corrections to that statement. So it should be over. I think it should be over, at least with those of us who support him. I'm sure the Democrats are going to find something else to criticize him about, but it should be over as far as I'm concerned. But I think what happens whenever President Trump says anything or tweets anything, like in this particular case, what happens is that the other side overreacts in such an irrational way that, you know, you've got, first of all, you have John Brennan coming out and saying that this is treason. Really, treason. Has anybody remembered what John Brennan did about any of this, when about Russian meddling when he was in office? And so you have this over-the-top reaction, completely over-the-top, completely crazy. I even saw somebody was, you know, moving around, I guess, retweeting something that said that, you know, President Trump has a mental problem, that he's deteriorating his mental condition, that the guy is out of control. I mean, these people are now pretending to be psychiatrists. How in the world can you issue a psychiatric statement about somebody you don't even know? I mean, based on a tweet, I'm going to say that somebody is crazy. So it just seems to me that what happens whenever the president makes a mistake like this is that the other side comes back way over the top, saying a bunch of things that absolutely make no sense whatsoever, that simply drive you, you know, it's just showing how these people are just absolutely crazy themselves. They're the ones who should be going to the psychiatrist. And I think it just comes back to to help the president. It's almost as if every time the president jumps in the water and he's drowning, these people throw him a lifesaver through their criticism. He's drowning in the water, so they throw him a lifesaver because their over-the-top criticisms are so crazy that, you know, that they just overreact. Now, I have no idea why people react this way to a president. I certainly never reacted that way to President Obama. And President Obama said some pretty interesting things himself. For example, when he, into an open microphone, said to the number two guy in Russia, "Hey, tell Vlad that I'll have more flexibility after the election." I don't remember people saying that that was treasonous. I don't remember people going nuts over that. Yes, some of us were curious as to what he meant, but certainly we didn't react in this fashion. Or even in 2012, you know, when Mitt Romney in a debate said that Russia was our geopolitical crisis number one, our biggest geopolitical crisis, most Democrats were mocking Governor Romney, including President Obama himself, who in the debate basically said, you know, that the president or Governor Romney wanted to go back to the 1980s. You know, the 1980s are calling for their foreign policy back. Romney turned out to be 100% about this, but I don't remember any of us reacting like the Democrats are reacting. And then finally, every single thing that Russia did, and by the way, I'm not a fan of Russia. I have no doubt that Russia was meddling in our elections. They have been meddling in our affairs going back to the Soviet Union. So they've been doing this for 100 years. I'm not surprised. I expected. But what was happening in 2016, if they were meddling in that election and using technology to jump into our election or whatever, that was all happening when President Obama was in the White House. So why aren't we having discussions about what happened during the Obama administration? Why didn't the Obama administration take radical measures to stop these activities by the Russians? I mean, on one hand, we hear from the Democrats that Russia was a threat to the integrity of our elections. Okay, fine. Where was President Obama then? Why wasn't he involved in stopping all of this? Why wasn't he shouting during 2016 that he would not tolerate this kind of activity from the Russians? So, I mean, why is it that this whole issue became an issue about Russia the night that Hillary Clinton was defeated? Before that, we didn't hear about any Russian meddling. We certainly would not be hearing about meddling today if Hillary Clinton had won the election. Nobody would be saying that she won the election because the Russians were meddling. Most people, I'm sure Democrats, would be discounting any conversation about Russian meddling if Hillary Clinton had won the election. But President Trump or Donald Trump won the election. He upset the experts. He upset the Democrats. And now, of course, we have to go into this whole story of Russian meddling in the election. Look, as I said before, I'm not a fan of Putin. I'm not a fan of Russia. I mean, the state of Russia, the people are beautiful, but I'm just saying the political class in Russia, I'm not a fan of theirs. I have no doubt that Russia uses whatever advantage they can get to promote their interest here in the United States, wherever there's an election, whether it's in Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, Argentina, wherever there's an election, and the Soviets have an interest, I have no doubt that they are promoting those interests and doing whatever they can to get away with it. So I have no doubt about that, and I have no doubt they were trying to do it here. But as the deputy attorney general said on Friday when he indicted another 12 Russians, he basically said the same thing he said a few months ago. Well, we're indicting a few Russians, but there's no evidence of any American involved, and there's no evidence that any votes changed. So no American involved, no votes changed. For the second time, the attorney general or deputy attorney general has said that. So what exactly is the issue here with Russia or the Russia meddling in the Trump campaign? I don't know, but it sure sounds to me like the Democrats are always looking for a reason to criticize President Trump, to make his life difficult. But I think they go over the top to such an extent. They go over the top to such an extent that they actually end up, in my opinion, helping the president, because their criticism of President Trump is so irrational, so over the top, that they end up, benefiting President Trump. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Gevez. We'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information. Under the show description, you'll see a link to Carlo's schedule. Click on it. And if you go to one of his shows, tell him that you heard about it on our program. Some of you have, and I appreciate that very much. Well, on this day, 1969, Apollo 11 was flying to the moon. Fly me to the moon. That's what they were saying this week in 1969 as Apollo 11 was headed for their very historic walk on the moon. They took off July 16th, and they landed on the moon a couple of days later. So we remember Apollo 13, or excuse me, let me take that back, Apollo 11. We remember Apollo 11 on the way to the moon, flying to the moon on this day in 1969. Well, you know, some of us remember that. It was so exciting to be a part of all of those space missions back then. I sometimes, you know, I try to explain that to my sons, and of course it's very difficult to explain it because they've never experienced anything like that. But I just remember how much fun it was in school when the teacher would let you see the you know, the launching, or even on the radio listening to it. I remember listening to the launching of Apollo 11, going to summer school, listening to my little transistor radio. So it was a great time to be alive, and it got better when they walked on the moon. What a great memory all of us have who remember that those moments years ago. Well, it was on this day in 1980 that President Ronald Reagan accepted the nomination of the Republican Party. It was in Detroit, Michigan, this evening, July 17th, 1980, when he accepted the nomination and went on to deliver one of the greatest nomination speeches. You know, most nomination speeches are okay. I mean, I'm not going to say they're bad, but they tend to come and go. I mean, you hear one and they're basically all the same. I don't know if anybody remembers, for example, any nomination speeches of recent memory. I do remember this one by Ronald Reagan because it was very good. It was just absolutely great speech. It was classic Reagan, you know, doing the optimistic Reagan, doing what Reagan knows better than anybody else, or knew better than anybody else, is that he was talking directly to everybody in the audience, and you can just see the great chemistry that there was in that audience between President, or at the time, Governor Reagan, candidate for the presidency, and the delegates in that room. It was one of the great speeches, and I would recommend, if you have a chance, it's about 40 minutes long, I guess, like most of those speeches tend to be. But if you have a chance, I would recommend that you go back and you listen to that speech. There's a couple of places you can find it. You can always get it in YouTube, but I'm not sure what the quality of the video is going to be. But if you go to the Reagan Library, there it is. You can find it there. I think it's free, because the last time I checked the Reagan Library, that speech was free. But you can watch that speech, and there's some interesting historic details about the speech. On the stage, you had, of course, Ronald Reagan, candidate for president, George Bush, candidate for vice president, and sitting behind George Bush was a young man by the name of George W. Bush. You could see him sitting behind there. I guess at the time, George W. must have been 34, I guess it was, and there he was with Laura, and you can see them behind George Bush. And it's interesting because I don't think there has ever been, to my knowledge, a future president and two other future presidents who were on the same stage at a convention listening to a speech. I mean, I'm sure that you've had former presidents, but in this case, you're talking about future presidents. So I don't know if that has ever happened before, but it was a very interesting moment in time. Ronald Reagan delivering his acceptance for the Republican nomination on this day, July 17th, 1980. It was in the evening, and I remember it quite well. I remember it quite well. It was a fantastic speech by then Governor, candidate for president, Ronald Reagan. Have a great day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, where it's very hot, It's supposed to be very hot for several days, so if you're coming to Dallas, bring your swimsuit. I think you'll need it. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.